There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, you're banned.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
I pledge allegiance to the flag, to the United States of America, to the republic which stands one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Let's get started. It's Midday Mobile on FM Talk 106.5. Hey, Sean Sullivan, next couple hours, lots to do with all of us. And you can get in touch with the show pretty darn easily at 343-0106. 343-0106 gets you through on a call or a text. And with the FM Talk 106.5 app, you can always leave us one of those talkback messages. So those were the Cherry Goddess Quartet. I guess this is what happens when you get some youth in politics, right? The children of the new mayor of Mobile, Spiro Cherry Goddess, doing the Pledge of Allegiance down at the inauguration ceremony that went on today. About 10 o'clock or so it started to bring in the new members and renew the members that remain of the Mobile City Council. So you got the couple new city council members, and of course you got a new mayor for the city of Mobile. And yeah, there was the quartet. I love that too. Did y'all have that moment, like, saying the pledge, which, you know, before school started, and you kind of knew a lot of the words, but, like, when you're real little, like, one word kind of became another one, you go, pledge allegiance to fly in nine states, America, to public stands. I mean, that kind of pacing, I remember that distinctly. Even as somebody who is a big fan of that pledge as a kid, I probably just kind of, like, I know, like, a lot of these words, I think. The teacher's not calling me out, so I'm pretty good. All right, so we will talk more about that today. A day of firsts. We'll get to that. Also, I'd like to point out, just as I do on Mondays, I mean, if I take a bad weekend in college pick'em, I'll let you know. I didn't. 39th now, if you check it out. Now, I'm tied with some people at 39th place, but college pick'em, folks, that's me at 39. After having a 500 weekend in my picks, but I'm still in the mix. Now, reminder too, I think we've said this many times, like Dan and Dalton and I and so many of us are playing college pick'em along with hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of y'all in the mix. We can't win the prize, the great prize from Spring Hill Ace Hardware, but we're just doing it to trash talk. So we're in there. We're not vying for the prize. We've got our own prize in here to talk trash amongst ourselves in the hallway. Also, we'll catch up on, you know, when we last left the program, there's a chance we're going to go to war with Venezuela. What's going to happen with that? We'll talk about that as well. Also coming up, we'll get with Todd Stacey later on in the show. I've got, we can talk about New York. I mean, it's all the cable news channels want to talk about is Mamdani. You know, he's going to win this thing. I don't think it's a bad thing. I'll tell you why. I don't think it's a bad thing if Mamdani wins the New York City election. And also, you know, the Obama angle on that I thought was pretty interesting as well. Plus, Kash Patel continues to make his way into the news. But yes, as we get started here, a day of firsts. I just want to point this out. There's some firsts here. My friend John Sharp has a story. I know the guys talked about it this morning over at AL.com. Kind of cool talking about the events going on today, inaugurations of people into office, new faces in there, plus how we have like a potluck dinner setting for a lot of these. Says John writes, Baymanet and Robertsdale will experience historic first today, while Spanish Fort will salute a beloved area veteran. Mobile, the second largest city in Alabama, will officially welcome a new mayor for the first time in a dozen years, and cities throughout the Alabama Gulf Coast. The day will be marked with celebratory meet and greets at bars, seafood restaurants, and during catered events. Now, one of the people that he leads off talking about, who's been a guest on the show a couple times, young guy, a mayor of Bay Minette now, it's official, I guess, Joshua Brown. He had an event. He had an overflow crowd of more than 250 people gathering to watch a live stream here. Now, I think it is worth noting here. So Joshua Brown, the first black mayor elected in Bay Minette. Okay, but I'll tell you this, from watching Joshua's campaign and interviewing him, he never came in, never did an interview where he said, hey, I'm a black guy. He didn't say, I'm a black guy who's going to be a black mayor. He just said, I'm running for mayor. He was the best person for the job. The guy's got crazy energy, too. So a young people thing like that. But I do think if you want to put some kind of mark on it, that says something. Now, other places where we're trying to find the first so-and-so, I don't know. Sometimes it just seems like instead of just celebrating that somebody's, you know, good, they got the votes, and then, oh, right, it's a, you know, it's a white woman, a black man, a black woman, white man, whatever. Who cares, right? Are they good at the job? I mean, Joshua might be the one that's worth mentioning for Bay Minette. But, yeah, there are new people in office, and we're going to hopefully talk to a lot of these folks from council levels to mayors over the next couple months and get them on so we can get to know them as we roll forward with this. I guess if we're going to talk about historic first, Spiro Chirigatis, the first Greek-American, right, to be mayor of Mobile. He, with the last name like Chirigatis, he's obviously of Greek descent. Can't hide. So there, why didn't that be? Day of first, a Greek is the mayor of Mobile. It sounds silly when you say that, right? But that is the that's what's going on. We'll hopefully get a lot of these folks on here. We've had some of them on here, and I know and former Mayor Stimson's going to come on the show soon too. I wish the best for the new mayor. I will say this at this point in my life, as a Mobilian, Sandy Stimson, the best mayor in my lifetime. I guess since I've been paying attention, so there's some pretty big shoes to fill on that. Also, so yeah, I see some texts coming in. We'll get to that. Also, let's talk about this war with Venezuela. Like when we last left on Friday, it was, you know, the huge amount of American naval assets that are in the region. Now, some are stationed pretty close to Venezuela. Some are over by Puerto Rico. It looks like some, you know, other hotspots in the Caribbean, which, you know, it's kind of roughed up with the hurricane lately. But they are not just like a warship or two. I mean, like we talked about, these are aircraft carriers. This is footing not, that wouldn't say just drug interdiction. And I know the president, we're going to get a clip from him here. He was on 60 Minutes last night. I know that we talk about his drug interdiction. I think there's something bigger afoot here. That question came up last night as he was interviewed on 60 Minutes. Let's go to cut one.
Are we going to war against Venezuela?
I doubt it. I don't think so, but they've been treating us very badly.
Are Maduro's days as president numbered?
I would say, yeah. I think so, yeah.
And this issue of potential land strikes in Venezuela, is that true?
I don't tell you that. I mean, I'm not saying it's true or untrue, but I'd, you know, I wouldn't.
Why would
I wouldn't be
it?
Inclined to say that I would do that, but because I don't talk to a reporter about whether or not I'm going to strike.
That the last sentence there is like I tell you, like there's most people focus on the 20% of the time that I disagree with Trump. The 80% of the time is stuff just like that. Brilliant. Are you going to strike? I've been driven crazy in the past when we telegraph exactly what we would do. Trump said, I'm not going to tell you if I'm going to strike or not. Even though in the beginning he says, I don't think we're going to war with them. Are you going to strike them? Meh. I'm not going to tell you. Right. We'll get to these texts when we come back. News is coming up next. Skinner's Wild Game Processing in Thomasville is open now. Bring in your deer after your hunt, and you can pick up in Daphne. And the deer you bring in is the meat you get back. In Thomasville at Choctaw Corner Road and in Daphne at 181 and 64. Skinner's Wild Game Processing, open now.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 12:20, FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile. Check in with my buddy David McCrary at LCM. Let's get this week started, David. Inventory, how's it looking?
Inventory's good, Sean. We're looking for some stuff right now for a few different folks. I got one of my neighbors looking for a couple of trucks, and got another neighbor looking for a Toyota Tundra 1794 edition, but I don't want to alert any bounty hunters, but we got Brad Phillips out here rearranging the lot right now and getting everything straightened up to look nice after the weekend. So we're in good shape. We got a really good inventory. I think we got almost 80 units on the ground right now, which is a little bit more than average. Financing's good. Everything, I mean, the weather's perfect, so it's a great time to come see us.
Yeah, you know, you talk about that headhunter thing too. If Santa's thinking about a vehicle for someone, it might be time to get with David.
It is. You know, any time's a great time, but yeah, if you're looking for something for Christmas and you want to go ahead and get it over and get it off your plate to where you know you don't have to worry about it. I mean, we've got a place we can store it here for you. Just let us know. We'll get everything taken care of. Just come by and see us. Give us a call, whatever we need to do.
All right. Give them directions.
We are at Highway 90 and Plantation in Theodore. It's 1 mile south of I-10, exit 15A. You can give us a call, 251-375-0068. Or go to the website. We're finishing up some pictures right now that we're a little behind on, but everything should have pictures for noon today. LCMMotorcars.com.
Hey, thanks, David.
All right, buddy. Have a good week.
You too. There goes David McCrary at LCM Motorcars. All right, grab some text here. Thank you, CB Carl. Said Pritchard Pony Express went 3 for 7 for the second week, which makes him in the three digits for the first time this year. But your rise in the standings is inspiring, considering how bad you were doing. Listen, CB Carl, I was 150 something. I was way down, back at 39. We'll see. We'll see if I hold on to this. Let's see, Terry, Venezuelan and Nigerian wars at the same time. Yeah, I mean, the president talked about a lot of different things, saying what we would do going into Nigeria. By the way, is there a reason, an argument to be said to go into Nigeria? Well, there's a reason there's a problem there. I don't know if it's something we need to send our men and women there. If we want to put pressure on Nigeria to quit killing Christians, I'm for it. I don't know about putting boots on the ground there. Yeah, I'm sorry, I'm going through some memories. A friend of mine in Alabama, I used to joke, I'm like, I have an issue with the country of Nigeria, because he was in a lot of my classes. When I was a freshman, 1990, University of Alabama, there's several guys I was in class with that were from Nigeria. But the one, my buddy, he was so darn good at school. I'm like, you're ruining the bell curve for all of us. I said, it really kind of made me have a bad opinion of Nigeria. You come in here and you screw it up for those of us that want to slack. But the Venezuela thing, so, I mean, there's Trump saying it's not, he said, I don't see us going to war. But I do like the ending of that, because I have been frustrated over the years. Reporters are going to do their part. I'm not mad at the reporter for asking a question, whether you're going to, you know, are we going to war against so-and-so? That's a legitimate thing for a reporter to do. I also think it's important for somebody in that position to go, I'm not going to tell you. We've done this too many times where we've absolutely just telegraphed what we're going to do, right? Even though I'm all for transparency and sunlight and all those things, sometimes you're like, yeah, you didn't need to be quiet. Scorverine says Somalia screw up scared Clinton from getting involved in Rwanda, if that would have even happened. Yeah, I don't see now. Do I like the fact that we have a president talking about such things? Yes, I do. Is there a way to help? Are there sanctions that can be? I'm all for those things. But once again, he says we're not going to war against Venezuela, but it, you know, I wake up this morning and you got Venezuela, you got Nigeria, you know, those discussions, right? At the same time, the China-Taiwan thing, although I heard that Xi has told Trump that he wouldn't attack or go after Taiwan while he was president, right? Then you got this little Russia-Ukraine thing. You've got the thin piece of thread holding the peace accord for Israel and Hamas, you know, holding that together. We'll pop off of where we should just say nothing. You know, if we need to go, we need to go say nothing. But I don't want to have this John Bolton in the White House attitude, which he's not anymore, thank God. I can't believe that Trump brought him in his first term. But this idea that there's, you know, we're out there just looking for wars to go to. I just not. Hal says, isn't Russia killing Christians in Ukraine? Yes. Yes, and then you could argue that Ukrainians are killing Russians that could be Christian as well. Yes. I think the scenario in Nigeria, though, is a specific singling out of Christians there. So they're not, you know, how, and factually, are you correct? Yes. Semantically, you're correct. But are the Russian troops at the behest of Vladimir Putin killing Ukrainians because they're Christian? No, he's killing them because he wants the land and the resources and to unify in his mind some, you know, putting the band back together of former republics of the Soviets. But no, that's not why they're doing it. But yes, it is factually accurate. But I do think is. Yes, and Michael says, also, hasn't Israel been killing Christians in Gaza? There's proof of that, right? That a lot of people, I mean, it is not monolithic that a Palestinian is Islamic. It isn't monolithic. There are Christians there as well. So, see, all these arguments are absolutely factual. I don't know if it's apples to apples for Nigeria, but I don't want to go into either. Right? I don't want to just go into Venezuela. You don't need to go into Venezuela. I mean, what if you went into Venezuela or you went to Nigeria, what is the outcome there? Do you think you go in? Well, let's take Nigeria for a second. Do you go in and do what? Like, for how long? And then do the people that are, you know, would be Christian killers, or they go, oh, you know, like a sitcom or something. Oh, geez, thanks, Uncle Sam. I really learned my lesson. Thank you. And everything's good? Even and people in Venezuela that would love freedom. Venezuela, it's like really a cool country. It's a shame that it's gone the way it's gone under Maduro. But do you think you would go in there, even if you're in there to oppose Maduro, and you came into somebody's country, they're going to go, gee, thanks, Uncle Sam. I'm glad you showed us which way was best. Now, you need the people that are there. You need Venezuelans and Nigerians doing the job. Can we help them? Yeah, we can. But do we need to do it with ourselves in theater? I mean, here's a headline here. Nigerians described a mixture of confusion and fear on Sunday as people across the country tried to decipher President Donald Trump's threat to stop all aid to Africa's most populous country and go in guns a-blazing after accusing Nigeria's government of allowing the killing of Christians, end quote. Group chats and social media in the West African nation blew up in the wake of Trump's comments on Saturday, with many Nigerians baffled by Trump's ire. In his post on Truth Social, Trump singled out the plight of Christians allegedly targeted by violence in Nigeria and raised the threat of direct military action. What do you do on Truth? You post, whatever. A quote here from the president said, I am hereby instructing our Department of War to prepare for possible action. If we attack, it will be fast, vicious, and sweet, just like the terrorist thugs attack our cherished Christians, end quote. Now, once again, it's not theoretical, like this story angled with, they're absolutely people in Nigeria being killed for being Christians. But if we go, do we go in and we expect everybody to go, well, thank you for showing us the right way. We won't do that again. It's, I don't, and how much of this is just sectarian as well? That it's more about this group versus that group. Yeah, like the Christians are sub 50%. I think people identify as Muslim there are over 50%, but pretty close, right? Is that just tribalism? Is it about specifically the religion, or is the religion cloaking something for the allocation of resources, who's controlling government, those kind of, I don't know those things. And if you go in and do that, if we put boys and girls from the United States in there, how are we supposed to navigate that? Now, doing something, I think, is a good thing to try to protect the Christians there. But what do we go in there and do? And then where's the finish line? Where do you go? Okay, now our job's done. Everybody can go home. All right, coming right back. More Midday Mobile. I think we'll get Todd Stacey on. And also coming up in hour number two, House Pro Tem Chris Pringle joins us. Lots coming up on this Monday edition.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
It's at 12:35 FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile on this Monday. Bring on our buddy from Alabama Daily News, Capital Journal, and voluminous amounts of radio visits. It's Todd Stacey and the crowd goes wild. Hey, Todd.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, man. So we'd be remiss if we didn't start with this because Jeff made sure there's just very little time at the end of his show, so we didn't get into discussion. But who's y'all's next coach going to be? What are you doing here?
I mean, I think I'm like everybody else. I think it was time to get rid of Freeze. You just can't have a performance like that, and continued performances like that. But I have no idea. I mean, everybody seems to be high on Summerall there at Tulane. Obviously, he's mm-hmm. a good guy, and he's been at Troy, so maybe he knows the state a little bit. But, I mean, I really couldn't tell you. I hope the process – I don't really want to know what the process is. I don't want to know how the sausage is made. I just want it to be a very good sausage. So, because for two straight times here, Auburn has screwed it up. You know, they screwed it up with Harsin, they screwed it up with Freeze, and three strikes you're out. So who knows? But goodness, the long nightmare is over.
Yeah, but I do think about the ongoing cost of that. I mean, and it's not just Auburn, other schools, but the buyout stuff. I mean, this is the most cliche joke ever, but please let me be a college football coach so you can fire me and I can get a buyout.
Yeah. Well, and from what I'm told, it's basically only going to be like $6 million. That's couch change compared to what other schools are having to pay. So that, I guess, that would be fortunate. But what I'm more worried about is like the long term impact on the program. Auburn's never had a stretch of football this bad ever in its history. The closest you get would be right after World War II, and so it just never happened. This many losing seasons in a row and losing consistency to rivals. So everybody's motivated to turn it around, but it does take the right person. Hugh Freeze was a great recruiter, right? Everybody agrees with that. Mm-hmm. But he couldn't get it done on the field, and you gotta get it done on the field.
That's a tough thing to look at. Like, you don't hire a coach because they're losing somewhere, right? They're doing something in another school. They're like, okay, they're winning. They're putting programs together. Like, Harsin and Freeze both were winning, and then you bring them to Auburn and they don't.
Yeah, I mean, it is not easy to predict what a coach is going to do. And again, when Freeze is bringing in all these amazing recruits, I mean, it just stands to reason that, yeah, you'd be able to put something together, but he didn't. And not saying it's easy. I mean, the SEC right now is probably the hardest it's ever been, top to bottom. And certainly Auburn had a very, very tough stretch of games at the beginning. Probably the toughest teams in the conference, other than Alabama. So, but you only get so many do-overs. You only get so many chances, and he ran out of them.
There you go. All right, this is going to be my bad segue. Since we're talking about schools, kind of, let's talk about this letter from the governor and Ledbetter pushing back on the AHSAA motion. So people have not followed this. Can you give like the the Wikipedia first, you know, two sentences version. What's it question here?
Sure. So everybody knows what the CHOOSE Act is. They passed that a few years ago, but it went into effect this year, and that allows families to get a tax credit, $7,000 tax credit, to send their children to a school of their choice. We've done a lot of reporting on this. You've had a lot of students go from public schools to private schools. You've had a lot of students that were already in private school that now their parents are getting the tax break if they're under a certain income. But the Athletic Association, the Alabama High School Athletic Association, made a ruling this summer, right before school was to begin, that if students took those vouchers, basically, those education savings accounts, then they would have to sit out a year from playing sports, football, basketball, anything. You have to sit out a year. And they made it the argument kind of like, because there is a current rule about, you know, you can't recruit kids.
Right.
And so they made it like, okay, if private schools go out and recruit kids using this money, then per their rules, they have to sit out a year. But this is a lot different. And this actually came up during the legislative debate. And the legislature was pretty clear that they did not intend in this law to have students having to sit out of athletics a year because they took, you know, state-authorized CHOOSE Act money. But that's what the Athletic Association did. The governor and the speaker immediately sued to have that thrown out, and they were the judge put a temporary restraining order, meaning, you know, students now can play those sports, but it's going to be a court case. And so the Athletic Association is not backing down. They filed a motion to dismiss that TRO. And so the governor and the speaker are making this very public, forward-leaning case against the Athletic Association about this issue. I mean, football season is almost over. Mm-hmm. You still got basketball and spring sports. So it's not just an interesting case to watch legally. This could absolutely spill over into the legislature. And I do think you'll see legislation filed, not just about the CHOOSE Act, but even getting into the governance of the Athletic Association.
But don't you have, am I missing something? The supremacy of the law from the legislature, AHSAA, is it what, a quasi-government, not really a government agency? I mean, the law's the law. How can they say, if the things differ, aren't you just looking at the supremacy of what comes out the legislature?
Right, it's not like there's they wrote into the law, hey, by the way, CHOOSE Act students can play football. I mean, you know how laws don't really work like that. But during the legislative debate, it was absolutely brought up because the amendments were brought to make sure that they were legally in the clear. And I remember it because you had some lawmakers saying, hey, certain other scholarship programs are subject to this rule, and we want to make sure the CHOOSE Act isn't, because it's a lot broader in scope. So they debated it on the House floor and made sure that it was not going to be that way. And that's why you have courts, right? The Athletic Association is clearly interpreting it this a different way. Nobody in the legislature that I've talked to says that supported it wanted this to be the case, and so that's why the governor and the speaker sued. I think ultimately they'll be successful, but I think the bigger issue is the Athletic Association is in, I don't know, they're kind of on thin ice as it is to begin with. There's lots of complaints, not just about this, but about other things. And so I think you could see some legislation getting at their governance, just because that frustration has been around for several years.
I mean, could I don't understand this deeply, so maybe I'm asking a dumb question, but could the schools defect from it and say we're not under AHSAA?
I don't know how that works. I wish I had an answer for you. I do know that it could be complicated legally, because part of its inception, the Athletic Association came in the civil rights movement, and it basically part of its existence was to ensure that there was not discrimination in high school athletics. I mean, you can just think about those times.
Oh, yeah.
And so there are some court mandates and probably some federal stuff that might make it kind of tricky. I don't know what all those are. I've just been told that could be a complicating factor if they want to address the root issue. But yeah, look, at the very least, I think the legislature could just make very clear in the law that you know, students should not have to sit out as sports for a year. So that's at the very minimum, but they could go further than that if they choose to.
Okay. And you know, we talked to you so much about your savvy for Montgomery inside the halls of state government, but you worked in Washington too. So I got to ask you, 34 days or 35, I think 34 days today of the shutdown. SNAP benefits ran out, although there's another story about supplemental. Right? Who blinks first? Does it happen this week? I mean, he set the record, you know, here, the longest shutdown.
I mean, to me, it kind of has to be the Democrats. Now, they can be pretty stubborn. Everybody can. I just don't see, like, I don't know what Republicans have to give up.
I don't know either.
I mean, again, this is the exact opposite, or the shoe is on the other foot this time. When I worked in Washington, I was there for the 2013 shutdown. That was the defund Obamacare, right? So it was kind of the exact opposite. You had a Democrat president. Democrats had the Senate. And they were not going to, you know, the Republicans were demanding that they defund Obamacare, a law that had really just been, you know, gotten into implemented, or else we're not going to open the government. Well, eventually, Republicans blinked because that's long term. That's just not something you can sustain. And at the end of the day, it was Republicans choosing to shut down the government in order to try to get a policy change. It was never going to happen. This is the exact opposite. Republicans have a clean CR. It's the Democrats that are voting choosing to keep the government shut down because they want some policy changes. But again, that's not on the table. I don't see it getting on the table. Now, I think Trump could step in and say, okay, we'll have a debate about Obamacare tax subsidies, premium tax subsidies. But we're not going to do it until the government opens up. And there, I think whether it's a week and a half, 2 weeks, I do think all you need is like four Democrats.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they'll probably find enough of those just to get the government open. They need some kind of fig leaf. They need some
that's
kind of
saving face.
That's
what I was wondering.
Face.
What is what that? You said it, man. What is the face saving? So the Democrats could say, well, we got, you know, we really got it on the Republicans. I'm going to say yes now because we got this thing, you know, de minimis thing.
Yeah. So if Trump agrees to negotiate about those Obamacare premium tax subsidies, there's just something there that a handful of Democrats can say, see, we got what we wanted.
Yeah.
We've got the negotiation. It's time,
rah,
to do it. Yeah. I mean, it's all bull. It really is. And, you know, what's happening right now is the Democrats, the elected Democrats, are scared to death of their political base. And that's that's also like it was in 2013.
The Mamdani effect, yeah.
Yeah, so in 2013, it was the Tea Party that elected Republicans were terrified of. And so they had to demonstrate back then, you got to fight Obama, you got to fight Obamacare. And so it went on, you know, enough. So, okay, yes, we fought because everybody was terrified of the base.
Mm-hmm.
It was never going to work. But so now, fast forward 12 years later, and it's the exact opposite. They are terrified of their leftist base. They have to demonstrate some way that they're fighting Trump, and this is the only way that they can figure out. So, you know, but not all of them are in states like that. So, you know, whether it's a John Ossoff or some more kind of red state Dems, I think they can find, you know, four or five to come over. And once you find a few, the dam starts to break.
Yeah, exactly. Once it's somebody else, it's like, well, it was going to happen anyway, so I can jump in. All right, people want to check out the news for our state 6 days a week. That email I look forward to. How do they get signed up?
It's really easy. Just go to aldailynews.com. That's the homepage. Enter your name and your email, and you'll be on the list. And Sean, I'm about to sit down with your mayor. Mayor Stimson is in town for the Alabama Academy of Honor, which he was inducted this morning, and he's coming on Capital Journal. So we've got that to look forward to.
Man, good deal. Tell him I said hello, and we'll talk to you next week.
All right, Sean, be good.
All right, there goes Todd. A little sneak preview of what he's got coming up with Mayor Stimson. 1248 head to the news and be right back. 343-0106. How you get in touch with us?
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 12:53, FM Talk 106.5 at Midday Mobile. Glad to have you here on this Monday. Yeah, text line, phone line, they're the same, 343-0106. And you hear me talking about that talkback feature. Hey, one of the many features on the FM Talk 106.5 app. I mean, I can look at the what people come to it for. Now, number one, obviously, is streaming the station. Stream it wherever you got a cell signal. Get the station right there. Also, all our social media feeds in one place, so kind of breaking news or whatever that comes there. Our podcast posts there first to the app, plus show schedules, all kind of, you can text from there, you can call from there, but you can also leave a talkback message. See that microphone icon on the front page? If you press that, lets you record a message, emails it to the show, and we can play it back here as well. All right, let me dig into some text here. See if I go far enough back. Yeah, okay, back to my conversation from earlier in the hour. Just president, you know, it said in that 60 Minutes interview, which I love the last part of it. I'm not going to tell you whether we're going in or not, but at the beginning of it, he said we weren't going in to Venezuela, which is a relief. Like I said, if to do what we're doing on the outside of Venezuela, to pressure and then half a world away in Nigeria, to pressure, you know, pressure Nigerian government in every way we can, other than kids from here going to war, to not kill Christians there, I'm for it. You put yourself in either of those scenarios. Do we go into Nigeria and we put our men and women at risk? And then at the end of whatever, wherever the goal line is, which is another thing I'd like to know, do the Nigerians go like it's the end of some episode on TV and go, well, thank you, we learned our lesson, we won't do... No, they go right back to doing the thing again. And even in Venezuela, which there's people I'm sure want to throw off the shackles of Maduro. And when, I mean, Venezuela could be, and it was, a very successful country. Would they say, well, we welcome some other country telling us how to do it? It just usually doesn't work that way. All right. Tyler says, I really don't know what to think about Venezuela. Big failures in the past have been against adversaries with different cultures. Think Vietnam, Afghanistan. But Venezuela is South American Christian and is oppressed by someone who is in cahoots, which, by the way, I love that word, with Vladimir Putin. Might be worth taking his head off. I don't think Maduro is. Yeah. If Maduro fell down the stairs, it wouldn't break my heart, right? Just the... C.B. Carl said, thinking back to Somalia, we don't have a great history of boots on the ground in Africa. No, we don't. This texter, unnamed texter, he's a complete idiot. I guess he's talking about Trump here. He said, you're talking about this and not the hardships that Americans are facing day in and day out. He promised to fix it, and he hasn't. The real Sam said, Sean, I'm just tuning in, but my question would be, the same as Venezuela, does Nigeria have rare earth or oil? That could explain a lot. I think they do. Real Sam, do they have cobalt in Nigeria? I don't, you know what, I don't know it for a fact, but somebody can probably Google it quickly and let me know, but I think they, I'm 73.8% sure there's some kind of rare earth mineral there, but I'm not completely sure. Let's see. Tyler says, I don't think Trump would put troops on the ground anywhere. I think it would be more of an Iran scenario with one swift punch. B-Dark says, Sean, like you said, we got two threats of war, but all people worry about is $9 billion a month for food stamps. Where are the priorities? Michael, do Auburn fans know how to use Google and they can read? The Barners keep thinking they're a better program than Florida. Florida has more natties and SEC championships than Auburn, even in football. That's simply a fact. If you look at all athletics, Florida has three times as many and more NCAA and SEC championships than any other athletic department in the SEC. Every usable metric proves Florida is a superior program than Auburn. And to top it off, they're not a little brother in the state. I guess at one time they might have been to the U, to Miami, but I don't know. Aiden says, if they're not members of AHSAA, they're not allowed to play member schools, and members are subject to being kicked out of the association. Sure, and Aiden, I remember, I know that from just listening to Dan and Dalton and Jeff and all that. But what if everybody at one time said, we're out? you know, like a mass departure. Could that be done? I am, like, even Todd Stacey says he doesn't know, you know, if that could be done. But I do wonder, when they write laws in Montgomery, you know, and that passes, that should have superiority, right? I mean, that is same way with the feds, right? And to our state. Let's see. All right. Yeah. Smooth Operator says, I work for Chevron. Yes, Chevron has oil facilities in Nigeria. Is it good oil? Is it like, because we look at Venezuela. I've been told, maybe you can help me too if you work at in the business. Venezuelan oil is not the best. Is it, I don't know that. I've just heard that. How's the oil coming out of Nigeria? But still, there's a lot of places that we can get oil that don't involve us putting... But I would like them to stop killing the Christians. How about that? Y'all stop doing that, and then y'all can go do whatever. Nigeria. All right, 12:58, coming right back. Hour number two of Midday Mobile. House Pro Tem Chris Pringle joins us in just minutes.